The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in this house to worship. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to encounter our Savior this day. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house on this final Sunday in the month of June. I'm thankful that you've joined us this morning for our worship service today. May God bless us with his presence in this worship hour this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us, welcome. Thank you for joining us today. You can fill out a visitor's card and drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service this morning. For those that are watching this morning online on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us today. I do want to remind you, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up our worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our time of worship today, but also for other ministries we have coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first-time viewer, I want to encourage you to email us and let us share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin to this day, but we do have a very busy schedule today for our worship service this morning, so I want to just go and touch on a couple of those. We have a cookout coming up next week. We've got mission project collections taking place. Parking lot work is going to be going on, so I encourage you to just look at those details in your bulletin today. I would also encourage you to look at the July newsletter that was sent out earlier this week. You can also pick up one of the copies of the July newsletter in the foyer this morning if you did not receive one. We also have a very busy month coming up, so I encourage you to make sure you find all those details. If you have any questions about those, you can speak to one of our church members. You can also reach out to your deacon at some point in the future. We know that the Spirit is present in our place of worship this morning, and we look forward to how the Spirit is going to move in our worship hour this morning. And we're going to begin our time of worship this morning with a special opportunity for our church family. I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice already. That's not a good sign. This morning, one of our young couples is bringing their young daughter to be dedicated this morning. So I want to invite Daniel and Maria Kogel to come forward at this time. So it is my great honor and joy to introduce you to one of our newest members of our church family. Peyton Elizabeth Coble is the daughter of Daniel and Maria Coble and the little sister of Miss Amelia up here, who want to be a special part of this service today as well. Peyton was born on May 30th of this month. Daniel and Maria have come to pledge themselves before God and the congregation to raise Peyton in a way that honors the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Daniel and Maria, I ask you this morning, Do you recognize Peyton as a gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? Do you dedicate Peyton to the Lord who gave her to you, surrendering all worldly claims upon her life in the hope that she will belong wholly to God? Do you pledge as parents that with God's fatherly help, you will bring up Peyton in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the Word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into her life? Do you promise to provide through God's blessing for her physical, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual need, looking to your own Heavenly Father for the wisdom, love, and strength to do so? Now, to your first church family, First Baptist Elon, I ask you, do you promise today to support and pray for this family and this child, seeking to encourage them in the lifelong task of nurturing faith? Do you promise as a church to do all in your power to help Peyton to discern and discover God's will for her unfolding life, believing in faith that at some high and holy moment, the risen Christ will reveal himself to her in a divine human encounter, whereby Christ becomes the living Lord of Peyton's life? If you make this covenant to this family this morning and to Peyton this morning, will you please stand if you're able at this time? Daniel and Maria, as you look around, you have a church family who's making that commitment to you. These are individuals that you can count on, not just today, but many days and weeks and months and years to come. Now, Peyton, you don't see all these people standing around you, but I guarantee you they would be more than happy to hold you, to rock you, to love you, but know that you've got a church family here supporting you. Now, with the congregation and with Daniel and Maria, join me in the responsive reading that's printed in your bulletin. It's also will be on the screen behind me. God has entrusted you with a magnificent responsibility.
We lovingly accept this responsibility to raise Peyton as a child of the Lord.
Congregation,
we will help you.
There you go. Again, God has given the gift of life.
We will protect and nurture Peyton with our love.
We will pray for you.
A child is like a clean slate. It knows no right or wrong.
We will be with you. Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Now, I told Daniel and Maria this could be the most memorable day in baby dedication in history. If I held Peyton and I had a vertigo spell, and we might go down to the ground together. So I'm not going to test those waters this morning, but what we're going to do is this. We're going to have a special blessings for Peyton. So I know y'all can't reach her, but I sure can. So I'm going to place my hand on little Peyton's head, and you put your virtual hand on her head today, and let's bless her this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the precious gift of Peyton, a life wonderfully made and deeply loved. Today we dedicate this little one into your loving hands, trusting into your perfect plans and unfailing care. Bless Peyton with health, joy, and wisdom beyond her years. May her heart always be tender towards you, her steps guided by your truth, and her life filled with kindness, courage, and peace. Surround her with family, friends, and mentors who will nurture her faith and encourage her dreams. Protect Daniel and Maria, Amelia and Peyton from harm. Let your light shine through them so others may see your goodness. Lord, grant Daniel and Maria strength, patience, and grace as they raise Peyton. May their home be a place of love, laughter, and faith where your presence is always felt. We commit Peyton to you, knowing that your plans are good and your love is everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The congregation could be seated. Now, as I told Daniel and Maria earlier, this is a day that Peyton will not remember. Now, Amelia may remember. We don't know about this, but Peyton definitely will not remember. And this is a day that Daniel and Maria are going to need to tell Peyton about in years to come when she gets a little bit older. But we wanted to give them two gifts this morning that would remind them about this day, will remind her about this day. One is a certificate that we want to encourage you to put in her baby book. I know she has one. I know you're already collecting lots of things. So we want to encourage you to place that in there. And then when you're flipping through it with her years to come, talk about this day. Talk about the commitment that you've made. Talk about the commitment that this church has made for her. Last but not least, we have a Bible. This is the most important gift that you can give to her right now, to read the Word to her, to be in the Word together with her. A family that reads the Bible together, stays together, and loves together. So allow this to be a gift that you continue to dive in with her together. So take these gifts, and we hope, you've got your hands full, I'll give them to Dan. Yeah, there you go. It may not end back up the house then. But we encourage you to be together and tell her about this day in years to come. Now let's worship and sing.
Well, I forgot to stand up at the beginning to do the congregational call to worship, so we're going to do this. We're going to start with, we have come into his house, holy ground, then we'll sing Surely the Presence after that. And I tell you what, the Lord is good. Because I think he knew that if I got up here and had to make all those announcements, I'd start crying. And I wouldn't be able to do anything. So thank you, Lord. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Yeah.
You may be seated.
I think that was Gay covering for me. I think I blew right through Shirley the presence earlier, so as she has covered for many, 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 many times before. Our opening scripture reading this morning is Psalm 89, reading verses 1 through 4 and 15 through 18. Listen to the word of God this morning. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They celebrate your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. This morning as we gather, we can give thanks for God's great love, not just this day, but every single day. And we know that he is with us, not just on this Sunday, but every day of our lives. Let us pray this morning. Holy God, your faithful love toward us never ends. It is sure and dependable as the sky over our heads. We praise you this day. We've gathered together in this place to offer you our worship and our thanksgiving, to declare to anyone who will listen that you are our God and we are your people. May your spirit be at work among us as we worship, opening our eyes to the light of your presence in this place, to you alone, faithful creator, redeemer, and sustainer, be all glory and honor now and forevermore. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you. I don't know what I did to deserve this. To be asked to recognize David for 26 years of serving a church, of ministering to people. Denise and I went shopping yesterday, and we were at the mall, and we were at Dave's Discount Furniture Warehouse. We walked through there, and there was a sign on the door that says, "Huge sale today." And it's in permanent letters on the door. And so as I look out and see how many people are here today, I think maybe we could do that. We could just say, "It's David's last Sunday, everybody come." But we can't. Because we have a pastor who has been dealing graciously with something for a while. And yet he still got up every Sunday, and he still came in here, and he still did for us exactly what we did by accident today. When we start doing a baby dedication, and it comes to the part where it says family, and we all start talking. Because that's the atmosphere that David has fostered in this church, is that we are a family of God. We're appreciative of 26 years of devoting yourself, not because it's this church, but devotion of yourself to teaching people about God's love for them. I am grateful personally. When we were looking for a church, we had a youth-aged kid. And so knowing that Macon was going to be able to come and have somebody who would lead her biblically was important to us. I asked Wes, I said, "What should I say today?" I said, "What was David like as a youth minister?" He goes, "He was cool." He let me talk to him. Because you weren't a pastor that sat up and said, "You know, I'm important," right? It was somebody who cared about creating relationships with people. Because people don't come to God without first knowing that relationship with somebody else probably who knows God. So, David, on behalf of this church, thank you for 26 years of ministry. Thank you for 26 years of leading this in different functions, but leading this church, and for 26 years of friendship with all the people. And that's what I'm grateful for more than anything, is that that friendship doesn't stop today because David's not standing here every Sunday as a pastor in the pulpit. He's still our friend. He's still our family. And for that, I'm grateful.
I don't want to share too much now because I'm going to share a few things in my sermon today. But I've been a part of this congregation a lot longer than 26 years. When my family started attending First Baptist Elon when I was in seventh grade, I was just a teenager. Who thought I knew it all, but quickly recognized that the one thing that I did not know was my Lord and Savior. And this church taught me how to love and know who my Lord and Savior is. And I can say ever since then that I have grown deeper in my faith, and it has been an honor and a privilege to be a part, as Brian said, of this family. I wish that this Sunday was not my last Sunday because of the way my health has been, but what I do know is this, is that God is working and God continues to work in my life and our family's lives. but in this church family life. And that I know God has special plans in store for this congregation. And as I have echoed individually to so many of you, just because my role as senior pastor will be changing, our friendship does not change. And so as I put in the newsletter article, and if you have not read the newsletter, shame on you. I've said it many times before. Please read the newsletter article. Jennifer and I's phone number's right there. And that's very intentional that you can get in touch with us, that our relationships have not ended. And again, I don't want to say too much because I'll say some more this afternoon. And I hope you will come this afternoon at 3 o'clock where it could be a little bit less formal. But God is good all the time. God is good. God is good. I don't know what we're supposed to do next.
Good job.
Offertory prayers. Oh, you go ahead. I'm going to speak later on.
I'm kind of like Brian here when they said family up there. I thought we were all family, so we could all speak, you know. So, but the one thing I will say with family, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, every one of us. And our brother David hurts, and his family hurts, we hurt. So we love y'all, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, sometimes the words feel heavy, but in reality, it's another celebration of the years. You gave us David, and you gave us a chance to grow together and be together in brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, you have a way of doing things that we understand and don't understand, but we know it's always in your hands. Lord, continue to take things out of our hands. Let us be willing to give them to you. Let's be willing to get on our knees. Let's be willing to give you our hearts and souls and minds. And yes, Lord, that money is part of it. Lord, help us to know when to give, when to serve, when to be present. We ask it all in your name. Amen.
There's a place, a place I can stay.
I do want to say again, thank you for the phone calls and the cards and the visits by the office the last couple weeks. And again, for those who do not know, there is a reception this afternoon from 3 to 4:30. It is a floating shower. You don't have to stay the whole time. I know they're calling for some maybe inclement weather this afternoon. If you're able to stop by, I would appreciate it. But thank you to Sandy French, who put the table together out in the vestibule. I think she's upstairs in the nursery this morning, maybe. So thank you to Sandy for that and just for the many kind words. As we prepare to encounter God's word today, let us go to the Lord in prayer once again. But as we do, I think it would be improper just to not recognize the hurt that is going on in our world at this time. This week, the country of Venezuela was struck with numerous earthquakes, and just watching the news late last night, seeing the hundreds of thousands of lives that have been lost in those earthquakes, our prayers go out to that country. Our prayers go out to the families who are grieving the loss of loved ones, who are still uncertain of the devastation for people who are still lost, for the destruction of just complete the infrastructure of that country. So as we pray today, may we remember that hurt and the hurts that's going on across our world at this time. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can gather in this place to worship and to celebrate and to remember you. But we also recognize there are many around this world who can't gather as we do this morning. Father, we especially lift up those in Venezuela this morning who are grieving loss, who are literally digging out of rubble, seeking to find loved ones who are still missing. We lift up that country to you this day, in this hour. We pray for grief. We pray for need. We pray for opportunity to help in whatever way we can. Father, we pray not just for Venezuela, but so many other countries who are in need at this time. Father, we pray for spiritual need that so many people are seeking but not sure what they're looking for, when we recognize that all they need is you. Heavenly Father, today as we approach your holy table, still our hearts and quiet our thoughts. We come today with humility, knowing that our salvation is by your grace alone. Lord, as we come to your table, we confess our sins, both seen and unseen, and ask for your mercy and cleansing. Wash us clean in the blood of Christ that we may partake worthily. We are grateful for your love, for the life you have given us, and for the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary. May this bread remind us today of his broken body and this cup of his shed blood. Draw us into deeper fellowship with you, that we may live lives worthy of our calling. And Father, may we answer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon on this final Sunday in this month of June. This has been a special Sunday already. What a wonderful way to begin our worship time and a baby dedication. When Daniel and Maria texted earlier this week and said, hey, we want to do the baby dedication, can we do it this Sunday? I was like, yeah, what a better way to end my last Sunday than on this special day. What a special way on this last Sunday. And she is behaving. hopefully for a little few more minutes, right? What a special way to begin our time of worship. And as I step aside after this Sunday because of health reasons, I'm thankful that we decide to end my ministry here on this final Sunday with communion. If you would turn with me to our focal scripture passage this morning, we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 17 through 35. This morning I'll be reading from Matthew's account of Jesus' Last Supper with the disciples before he would be arrested and tried and eventually crucified. This meal that we read about today has been synonymous with the sacramental observance of the Lord's Supper or communion in the Christian church today. Reading Matthew 26, 17 through 35, the words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, says, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. As a Christian, and then as a pastor, I have always had what I like to call an in-between versus curiosity. And let me explain to what I mean by that. Historical evidence shows that the gospel stories, and not just the gospel stories, but any writings for that matter in the Old Testament or New Testament, were written decades after the events in which they record. For example, the Gospel of Mark, believed to be the oldest of the gospel stories written, and the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament was believed to have been written around 60 to 65 AD, which is approximately 30 years after the events of Jesus' life in which they record. The Gospel of Luke, believed to have been written somewhere around 85 AD. The Gospel of John, somewhere around 90 to 95 AD. And our gospel story today, the Gospel of Matthew, was believed to have been written somewhere around 85 AD. With that being said, the stories in which they contain, the stories that they describe, the stories that we read about in Scripture, they were written 50 years after the events that actually took place. And they were not intended by any means ever to be play-by-plays of what actually happened in these historical situations. Now, don't hear me wrong. Don't say I'm saying that the Bible's not true, because the Bible is very true. There were things that were said, and there were events that actually happened during these historical events that the author, when writing his gospel story, just said, this doesn't really need to be included. It doesn't add to the story, the narrative in which it was told. And this is what I get to be when I say I like to be what I call an in-between the verses pastor, an in-between the verses Christian. I really want to know what took place in between those verses, in between, say, verses 17 and 18. Or in between the verses where we read that Jesus traveled from one town to the other with the disciples. You know good and well that they didn't travel from one town to the other being quiet and didn't say a word, right? Ever traveled with anybody? Ever traveled hours on foot with anybody without that person talking? Yeah, I don't see anybody shaking their heads, right? Well, if we were to read the accounts in Scripture, you would say, well, that's exactly what they did, right? There's nothing there. No, it didn't happen that way. In between verses, things happened, words were said, stories were told, events happened that the authors of these Scripture stories just said, we don't really need to know that Philip stumped his toe on that rock and we all busted out laughing. It didn't add to the historical narrative. But I really want to be one of those individuals, those believers. I want to know what took place between those verses. And I think the Last Supper was one of those stories that there were some pretty interesting things that probably took place around that dinner table that night that I want to know. For example, 3 years of ministry had taken place as Jesus had led his disciples and his close followers, preparing them to become the leaders that they would share the message of Christ's love with all humanity. As Jesus sat with his disciples for this final Passover meal, only he knew what the next hours and the days would play out. Now, some might argue that Judas knew what was about to happen, but Judas only knew the betrayal that he had given. He didn't know exactly all the details of the betrayal that would take place. So as Jesus looked out over his disciples at that Last Supper, that final meal together before the pending moments, which he knew was going to happen, one would have to think that relationship building moments of the last 3 years had to cross his mind. I would have to imagine there were a lot of in-between thoughts that Jesus had. Maybe in-between conversations that the disciples had as they gathered around that table that evening. As Jesus looked over at Peter, James, John, a smile probably crossed his face as he remembered the transfiguration on Mount Tabor, as his closest three friends saw the beauty of God's glory with the appearance of Moses and Elijah beside him. As Jesus glanced over at Philip, he remembered his calling of this eager disciple and how quickly Philip spread the word and introduced Nathanael to him. As he glanced over at Matthew, the tax collector, he remembers calling him and Matthew leaving all the coins on the table, all the taxes he collected, and him busting out the door and following Jesus. As he looked over that whole group, as they passed the food and they shared this prepared meal, a smile probably crossed Jesus' face as he remembered their lack of faith as they looked at the gathering crowd of 5,000 plus on the side of the mountain, and then their amazement of the baskets of fish and bread as they collected after the meal was done. They never questioned having enough food to eat again after that day. I wonder if he remembered the boat trip with these disciples and how scared they were while he slept below deck. But when he walked up above and the storm stopped, every boat trip after that with the disciples was never the same. He probably even glanced over at Judas, knowing that he did not live up to Judas's expectations of what a Messiah would be, and that his purpose was much greater than Judas could possibly comprehend. There were so many in-between moments as they gathered around that table that day. As I stand behind this pulpit this morning and look out on this congregation, I too see and remember so many in-between moments. I remember mission trips taken to Vermont, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and so many other locations. I remember painting walls and clearing hiking trails and working in nursing homes and running kids' club. I remember summer beach retreats and fall retreats to the mountains. I remember homecoming celebrations with including who knows vast arrays of cover dish meals. I remember senior adult trips to all the corners of the state of North Carolina. I remember senior adult luncheons with turkey and dressing every Thanksgiving, every November. We knew what the menu would be. Lasagna always in February, and so many wonderful desserts with speakers and singers that I can't begin to name. I remember wonderful times of fellowship and breakfast and lunches and every given week, every month going to K&W for lunch. It's closed down now too. I remember embracing the new, just as the disciples did as they followed this new rabbi, as we embarked on new ministry opportunities, transitioning from committee to team-based ministry, sanctuary renovations, the establishment of an endowment fund. I remember welcoming the Abundant Life Ministry into our church facility. I remember staff transitions, embracing ongoing ministry at Golden Years Senior Center, our annual block party cookout, the expansion of our food pantry. I remember sitting beside many of you during the high and low moments of life, facing surgeries, embracing grief at the loss of loved ones, shedding tears, facing the unknown during 9/11 and COVID-19, seeing hope in the promised Son each Advent and Christmas, and celebrating the risen Lord each Resurrection Sunday. So many in-between moments of ministry. As Jesus looked out on the disciples that evening, he knew what the future held. He had prepared them for this moment. He knew this meal would be the final preparation in the hours, the days, and the weeks that would follow. He also knew a little secret. He knew that that meal would not be goodbye. While the disciples would experience the next few days would seem like a goodbye, their teacher would be arrested, tried, and crucified to death, Jesus knew that this was not the end of the story. They would see him again. 3 short days after the crucifixion on Resurrection Sunday, they would also see him again because he was transforming life and death as they would ever know it and as we would know it today. They would fellowship once again in eternity instead of goodbye. This was see you later. First Baptist Elon, while I am stepping away as senior pastor, I can share with confidence those same thoughts with you this morning. God has and continues to prepare this congregation for the days, the weeks, the months, and years that will follow. He has great plans in store for this congregation. While we may not be able to see the full picture, he clearly does. He's the author. He's already there. And I want to echo those same sentiments that Jesus did at that Last Supper. These words that I share this morning are not goodbye. Instead, they're see you later. You will still see me out in the community. I hope you will stay in touch. Our relationship speaks louder than pastor and congregant. And if all else fails, I look forward to spending eternity with you, remembering and sharing all those in-between stories with all who will listen. Because it doesn't all have to be written out on a page. There's a lot of in-between. Sometimes living in the in-between is okay. And that's where I am right now. I hope someday you might join me. As Jesus looked out on his disciples at that Last Supper that evening, he knew what the future would hold. And he knew that this meal would prepare them for what the future would bring. So he grabbed a common element, something that was at every meal, something that had transformed meals for them every single time. He grabbed a loaf of bread and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." But then he also grabbed another element, one that they remembered from the very first miracle that Jesus had performed at that wedding feast. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant that is poured out for you." I'll invite our deacons to step forward. This morning I'll ask Phil to have a blessing of the bread today.
Dear Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that his body was broken for us. Thank you that we can go each day and feast on the bread that he still provides. Thank you, Jesus.
Body of Christ, broken for you. Take and eat. ask John Russell to have the blessing of the cup. Blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink. Scripture tells us that evening that following the meal they went out singing. And so we're going to do that again today. We sing our closing hymn. If you have a commitment that you need to make today, don't put it off. Make it today. I'll be standing down front. We have a row of deacons up here that are willing to pray for you and welcome you as well. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. It's okay to be in the in-between. Stay where you are as Brian sings our benediction today.
I don't worry about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry about the future, for I know what God has said. And today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand.